I'm Brian.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow your successful business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 255. Welcome back, Brian.
It's great to be here, Griff.
How's your week?
It's been a very, very busy week. How's yours?
It's okay. I've been sorting out fragrances.
Ah.
I could show you a photo if we had video of my bedroom right now. It's a mess. There are literally 50 plastic containers strewn all over the place with fragrances on the floor everywhere. I'm trying to organize them to get them ready for a listing by brand and by lots of different ways.
I think you should take a picture of that and we should put it on the podcast.
You might
think that our listeners would love to see your bedroom.
No.
Strewn around with plastic containers full of fragrances.
I don't let just anyone into the boudoir, Brian.
That's probably a good policy.
I think you should ask me who the guest is this week.
Griff, who is our guest this week?
Our guest this week, Brian, is eBay seller Lori Bilyeu of eBliss Reseller Solutions, and she's going to join us and talk about eBliss and its unique business model.
They have a great business model, both as a reseller and then as the solution that I'm sure she's going to talk to you about.
I could tell you right off. It's a kind of fulfillment, right? We're not going to keep that secret. I think most people would know.
Yes, and she is one of my favorites from the state of Colorado.
I've known you for over 20 years, and I've never heard you say, well, that one's not so much my favorite.
Well, there are a couple. Should I send them your way to have them on the podcast?
I think we should move on to the next topic on the podcast, and that would be the news.
Well, in the news this week, the wildfires that have devastated parts of Maui last week and the summer storms, flooding, and power outages that continue to impact a large swath of the eastern U.S. are top of mind.
They really are. And it's just been, I've been watching the news about Lahaini and Maui, and it's basically just gone. It's gone.
It's so sad.
It is very sad. Our condolences to anyone impacted, but we're thinking of you.
Definitely. Well, for those sellers living in the affected areas of Maui and the eastern United States, we want you to focus on your safety. Many of you have lost your homes or access to your business operations. While there are many things on your minds, your eBay selling status should not be one of them. eBay will automatically protect your selling performance if your business is impacted, including your late shipment rate, your valid tracking upload rate, item not received cases due to late delivery, as long as you're uploading tracking before the case was opened and have a physical scan from the carrier, and defects resulting from transactions you canceled. We will also make necessary adjustments to delivery date estimates and remove any associated negative and neutral feedback. These cases will not impact your service metrics for item not received, and our primary concern is for the safety of our community, so please stay safe. And for those in Maui, thoughts and prayers are definitely with you. My heart goes out to you. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, there's a part of me that would just love to be there and help them rebuild.
Yeah, I know the governor of Hawaii announced some charitable organizations that they recommend to give to. So if our listeners feel inclined, check out what the governor of Hawaii and where he thinks the resources should be best directed.
Well, Griff, yes.
We had a number of staff members in this week as they were preparing for eBay Open. And we have a new eBay staff member on our team who's not that new. He's been around. And some of those, our listeners in the Orlando area, may have met Blaine in person. But since Blaine was here and since he is actually going to be part of eBay Open, I thought I would have Blaine introduce himself to our community and maybe tell us a little about what he's doing at eBay Open. Blaine, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
So how long have you been at eBay, Blaine, and what's your responsibility? What are you focused on?
So I joined eBay back in March of 2023, so just about 6 months ago. I work on the seller engagement team. I primarily work on the eBay for Business social media platforms, so the YouTube channel and our Facebook page. And I also work on the seller events. So I've been working a lot on eBay Open, coordinating that, getting everything ready for this upcoming event. And I also work on the seller check-in, which many of you may attend as well. And I will actually be part of eBay Open this year as well, be on the Gen Z panel. It will be a conversation with me and two other Gen Z employees. And we'll be talking about trending topics among Gen Z.
And what are these trending topics among Gen Z? Us aging boomers want to know.
You have to register and come to find out, Griff.
So you can't even tease a little bit about what it is?
No, you have to come and see.
Huh, you're so difficult, Blaine. All right. Well, we'll see what we can get. But he's not even going to give us a hint of what they are. But we know that there are different trends. Like, you know, for example, Brian and I look for artifacts from TV shows from the 50s, the names of which we get wrong. Car 254. By the way, we got several emails about that.
Oh, I bet we did.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. Do you know when it's going to happen, an eBay open, or is it too early to talk about schedules and stuff?
The specific schedules are not out, I don't believe, but the date, obviously, of the event is.
Yeah, we'll have eBay open in studio in-person events in Chicago, Atlanta, Philadelphia, and Phoenix, September 26th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. local time, and then eBay open virtually will start September 27th to 29th.
Are you going to be in one of those cities, or are you somewhere else playing?
I'll actually be here in San Jose helping on the virtual side of things.
Oh, good. Yeah, we're going to need all the help we can get. So, yes. Hello.
How about you, Griff? Are you going to be in one of the cities?
No, but I'm coming to San Jose.
I'm going to be in one of the cities.
Which one?
I will be in Philadelphia.
Oh, you will? Okay.
Yes.
You would rather be in Philadelphia. Even you don't get the quote. I'd rather
be in
Philadelphia.
I don't get the quote. I thought you were going to do some Rocky reference.
No.
I would have got that.
No. It's a W.C. Fields quote. I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
Yes.
W.C. Fields was an actor, comedian years ago, Blaine.
If our listeners want to hear from Blaine or many, many other eBay sellers and eBay employees, definitely register for eBay Open. And if you're in one of the four cities that Blaine mentioned, definitely register to go in person. You'll meet eBay staff as well as other sellers.
Hey, when we talked about these four cities last week, we were thinking they by this time they'd be sold out. Are they?
They're almost there.
Okay.
Yeah. Better reserve your spot today.
Yeah.
Because by the time this lands, maybe they'll be sold out.
You'll be standing room only on the outside looking through the windows. Not much fun.
Exactly.
Well, Blaine, it's a pleasure meeting you, and hopefully you'll be back in the studio again. But hey, anytime you want to be on the podcast, just let us know. We'll send you a mic and headphones. All you need is a computer and an internet connection, and you can be on the show.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. It was fun being here today.
Great. Thanks, Blaine.
And now it's time to meet our guest this week. In all my years at eBay, which I think is about 27 years now, I've noticed that many eBay sellers who start selling on the site, not many, but a select few, let's say, they start businesses beyond just selling on the marketplace. And these are usually offering services and features and tools to other eBay sellers. And our next guest is a perfect example of this kind of journey. Lori Bilyeu started as an eBay seller who recognized that many other sellers could benefit from a fulfillment service. Lori joins us today as CEO and co-founder of a company called eBliss Reseller Solutions. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you so much, Griff. It's so great to be here again.
Lori, share with us your reselling journey. When did you start selling?
My reselling journey actually started a couple years after our family's reselling journey started, because this was actually started by my husband, Dave. Oh. He stumbled upon it. He started it completely on a whim, had no idea where it was going to go. As a matter of fact, he thought he invented reselling. He tells that joke a lot.
Men, right?
Right. So he started just selling things around the house like most people do, but then had a mentor who had been selling also for many years and helped him show him the ropes, and he quickly grew his little side hustle from that to something that was kind of full-time for himself. So it helped out the family budget, but it really wasn't a full-time income for us. I was working in a corporate job at the time.
Doing what?
I was working for a Northwestern Mutual representative. We had moved out from New Jersey in 2012 to Denver, Colorado, and I was working remotely. I was in this job. I was not quite that fulfilled in it, had been doing it for a while, and Dave was really loving what he was doing. It was awesome for him. So I looked at what he was doing, and I said, well, what if I helped you with that, and we could sort of double our efforts? Maybe we could double our revenue. And essentially, that's what happened. He showed me how to do everything. I knew nothing about eBay, about listing, shipping, sourcing. I had to learn it all. But I learned it quickly, and we grew that business to the point where it was a full-time business for our family.
Roughly when did this start?
He started in 2013, and I joined him in 2017.
So a good 4 years, had a lead on you.
Yes, he did. And I'll give him credit. He's great at sourcing. He really loves that part. Most resellers do. He can find great stuff. He started out buying like a lot of outerwear, because in Denver, like the ski people, you know, a lot of inventory like that. but then quickly realized that the electronics were kind of like the place to be because they were easier to list and actually they bring in better revenue. So he transitioned to electronics about the same time I joined him. It's used electronics, you know, not new ones. They're all thrifted, flea market, bins, thrift stores, that sort of place. Basically, we grew to the business to the point, well, we need help. We can't do this by ourselves anymore. So we hired employees. We got a warehouse space. We put the whole nine yards. And it was quite daunting at the time, you know, to go out on that limb. But we knew we had to in order to grow and scale.
By the time you joined David in the business, roughly how big was your business online, specifically, if you would, on eBay?
Right. And we do sell exclusively on eBay and always have. And it was about that time, I believe, 1,200 listings. And they were all individual, thrifted items, very few, multi-quantity, all used mostly. And we grew that. We probably at least doubled that and or more in about a year and a half from the time that I, you know, joined him. Because there was a lot that, you know, I was going to say he's very good at sourcing, but he wasn't that great at the back end of the business, like the accounting and knowing, you know, how to have your policies set up so that you, you know, you can get things out on time and your metrics can go up. He was not top rated seller when I joined him, and within months we were.
Behind every great man is an even greater woman.
I guess. I can't take all the credit. You know, he did start it, but I definitely helped him take it to the next level.
So he's not on the interview with us today. What's he doing right now?
He's actually shipping right now.
Oh, okay. So he is working.
Yes, for sure.
So we're here to talk about eBliss Solutions, reseller solutions. And I've obviously done the research and I've talked to you and I know it's primarily a fulfillment business. Let's talk a little bit about that. What does it mean when we say fulfillment as it relates to reselling?
Simply put, it means when someone else stores your inventory and ships it when it sells. Most people have heard of Amazon FBA, fulfilled by Amazon, and that's because they have warehouses you can send your items there. That really didn't exist prior to eBliss because they really only take new items, some exceptions, and they usually only take large quantities of them. What we do is we will store your inventory, and when it sells, we ship it for you. That's the very basis of it. It saves time, it saves space, and it allows for some resellers, if they want to grow and scale. Not everyone wants to do that, but if they do, they certainly can do it because a lot of people do have space issues. A lot of people have time issues.
Yes, yes.
They just, you know, provides them with a lot more freedom to do whatever it is they need to do more of in their lives, whether it's spending time personally or sourcing.
Now, you mentioned FBA. As you say, we're all familiar with it, but with some exceptions, you're correct. Amazon limits that to basically SKU-able items, things
correct.
That they can also put into their product catalog, not one of a kind. How does eBliss differ there?
We specifically exist for the opposite kind of seller that would use Amazon FBA. Our clients basically will have 500 listings on eBay and they will be all different SKUs, potentially. They don't have to be, but that's the basis. Like we completely modeled eBliss after our own reselling business, which we had grown up to a point it was over 4,000 individual thrifted items at our height. And just to let you know how it started, that's really what it came from. We had done the whole warehouse and the employees and we were doing pretty well. And we said, well, what if we didn't want to go this route? What if we wanted to do what we're doing now, but we didn't want to have employees in the warehouse? And we looked around, we said, there's no place we could go and send our items to. So that's why we created eBliss. It really exists for the different kind of seller other than the Amazon FBA. People actually call us the Amazon FBA for thrifters.
Is that a kind of branding you're looking for?
I don't know. I don't know, but that's what we've heard. That's the response we've gotten. But it's kind of true. Like I said, up until that point when we launched almost 3 years ago, it did not exist where you could really use this kind of service. And because we're resellers ourselves, we really understand what it takes to be a reseller, the pitfalls, the challenges, everything. I feel like we're positioned really well to support other resellers who feel like fulfillment could be a good part in their business.
Exactly. Are there some restrictions in the type of inventory when it comes to, say, thrifters find that probably is not a good fit for this?
Yes, there's the breakables, like because you have to get it to us in one piece. So we always say we will take it, but it's not generally a great idea. If you sell all China and things like that, we probably wouldn't be a good fit. The other thing is obviously large and heavy items. We do have a size and weight requirement because we do have limited space. We want to be able to, you know, use it effectively The items need to fit in about a 14 by 20 size bag, and they should be under 6 pounds, and that's per listing.
We won't get into pricing too deeply because we can do that on the website, but would that also be a consideration? The heavier the item, the more it's going to cost?
Correct. Because we pay for most of the inbound UPS shipping of your items, we had to limit that to some degree as well.
Was this something that you learned while you were building eBliss, that people were sending heavy and breakable items and you said, wait, this isn't working?
No, I think we did that from the beginning. Like I said before, we modeled it after what we were doing. And that has worked out to some extent to be what we thought it would be. In other areas, it hasn't. But we just knew that it just wouldn't make sense. You had to have some sort of restrictions or limits because otherwise it's just too open-ended.
Can we go through a kind of an overview of the step-by-step process I, as a eBliss subscriber, would do to send inventory to you guys to store and then ship when it sells?
Yes. Well, the first step is we always have a call or a Zoom with any potential client because we want to make sure this is a good fit for you, because at this point, we know it's not going to work for everyone. There are so many different kinds of resellers out there and everyone's business is different. Everyone's is unique. We want to find out what's your selling velocity, what's your average selling price, what are your goals, what are your challenges, all those sorts of things to make sure that what we offer is really going to be a good fit for you. And once we do that, we've determined that it is, we will basically set you up and we will send you a welcome kit. We provide the necessary materials for you in order to send them in. We have custom SKU stickers that we give our clients. We provide the bags for onboarding, getting your initial inventory to us. We provide the boxes. We try to make it as easy as possible. You just basically have to decide whatever platform you start your listings on, whether it's eBay, Poshmark, or one of the two other cross-listing options that are out there. That's what we are going to use in order to receive your items, because we basically use that SKU. The SKU is like golden because we're going to update it to make sure that we know where your item is in the warehouse.
SKUs are important, even if they're just single SKUs for one-of-a-kind items.
Absolutely.
So now you've received the items, you put them in safe storage, and you know where they are. I'm the seller, I'm doing all the listing. What happens when an item sells?
We will check your eBay and or Poshmark accounts, if you sell on them both, daily, whatever, when we do our daily shipping for your orders. We use Mua for eBay, obviously.
Let's make that clear. That's multi-user account access. So there's...
Correct.
You can assign different permissions and access to different people. So the seller would assign eBliss a certain level of access.
Exactly. So we're not in your entire eBay account, because that wouldn't be good. We only are in there to do what we have to do. But on Poshmark, unfortunately, there's no equivalent. So we have to just go in there. And so anyway, we will ship your items just like we ship them ourselves. If you sell on any other platforms besides those two, then all you have to do is send us the label and the SKU information, and then we can ship it for you.
This is why making it just eBay is actually a great advantage, because you can get in there, you can print the label right from my account on your end, and I don't have to worry about doing the label printing.
Nope, not at all.
I like this. And then you ship the item out.
Correct.
What happens in the case of a buyer wanting to return an item? Do they return it to you or to me?
For most of our clients, we have the items go back to them. And there's a reason for that. We feel like that's a decision that they should make. And I think in this kind of reselling environment, sometimes you don't want the item back. It's never the same situation for everyone. So we feel like they should make that decision. We do make exceptions for our traveling clients, those clients who travel the country, like say in an RV or something, and they don't have a dedicated place where they can receive their returns, we will make an exception. And then I will ask them, do you want me to check this or do you want to put it back in your inventory? We just don't do it on a grand scale at this point.
But later, if I get these items back, I can put them in a new batch and send them out to you again.
Exactly right. That's your prerogative.
All right. So that's pretty good. Are there other services besides fulfillment that eBliss offers to sellers or plans to offer?
Well, it's a funny story that eBliss is actually an acronym that started out as eBay Listing Inventory Storage and Shipping. That's what eBliss originally stood for.
How clever. You should work for a corporation.
That was my idea. We actually beta tested and researched and developed this for probably 2 years before we even launched it. But during that time, we realized that the listing part of it was going to be a little bit more challenging than we originally thought. So we decided to pull back on that and focus on the storage and shipping first. And I believe we've got very good at that. We got that down. So now we're revisiting the listing and something that all resellers have issues with was the photos. We actually will take photos for our existing clients on a one-off basis. They forgot to take the photos or some photos went missing. We can do that, no problem. We just haven't launched that service on a grand scale yet, but we're working on it. And we're also working on something that will allow our clients to have listings created for them as well. So basically like a one-stop shop for resellers.
In that case, I could just send you merchandise and you take care of everything. That's what you're aiming for.
Yes. I mean, you still have to manage the listing once it's on the platform. So we don't do that. But yes, the front end of the process we will handle and then the back end. Right now, we just do the back end, but we are working on that front end.
Another scenario that just came to mind, and I'm wondering if this has happened yet. Using you, eBliss, for fulfillment, I've shipped you my inventory. I get a question from a potential buyer, and I don't have the item to look to inspect. What do I do? Do I have to contact you, and then you have to go find the item?
Yes, we do. We have a very good process for that. If you have a question, need an additional photo, another measurement, whatever it is, we will go pull the item and answer that for you. Now, that's not supposed to be a replacement for good listings. You can't, put everything up there with no measurements and expect us to give them all the time. That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Obviously, if you don't have the item, how can you answer that question? Yes, we would absolutely do that for you. No problem. It probably won't happen as quickly as if you had done it yourself. That's the only downside. But we try to do that within the next business day at the latest so that hopefully you can get that information back to your potential buyer.
How big is your subscriber base in general overview terms?
We have the space for about 40,000 items in our inventory, in our warehouse. It's not full yet. And our average client has about 300 or so items with us. And then there's some turnover. You know, we've had some clients actually stay with us since the beginning. They're still here. And then people's situations change, so they come and go. But we are still trying to fill our warehouse at this point. So I guess the short answer is not enough.
Yeah. What happens in cases where people decide to take another route for whatever reason? They have a lot of inventory of their inventory stored with you. How do they get it shipped back in that case?
We would ship it back to them. They would have to pay for the shipping, of course. It's just a process that we go through. And if that happens, it's no problem because we understand that life changes, situations change, businesses change. But if that happens, it's not an issue. They just have to pay for it to get back.
Of course. Yeah. How old is eBliss? How long have you been doing this?
Well, it'll be 3 years old, I believe, in the end of September. Early October is when we launched. We launched right in the middle of the pandemic, believe it or not.
Wow. What were the challenges faced there?
I don't think we knew that we were going to have any challenges at the time. Reselling was still kind of really vibrant at that point. Things were still really high. But with any business, it's just getting the word out. We thought that we were going to be inundated with inquiries and with potential clients, but it's been a little bit of a slow boil up to that point. But that's kind of good because you don't want to overpromise and underdeliver your services. It was kind of good that we slowly grew into where we are now. And I feel like right now we're positioned to pop really and help as many resellers as we want to help.
You are in a perfect position to notice a lot of trends, both with your own business and the business of other sellers. I'd love to get your perspective on the trends you've seen recently when it comes to reselling.
Correct. And like I said before, we get to talk to a lot of resellers out there because we always have that conversation with them before them coming on board. And also, you probably knew, Dave and I used to run the Denver eBay meetup group for about 2 or 3 years. So we got to talk to a lot of resellers there. So we have seen a couple interesting trends that from our vantage point, I think, and because we kind of see behind the curtain, sort of, because we see what people's businesses are doing from a cross section. One thing is we are noticing that more side hustlers are entering and staying in reselling. I think in the past, they may have entered as a side hustler, but had aspirations of being full-time, quitting their full-time job and that sort of thing. I think these days, they're more apt to just say, you know what, I'm just going to keep this as a side hustle, but they have a time issue. They have also, if they're brand new, they might have shipping issues or like knowledge of how to ship, especially on eBay. A lot of them have full-time jobs that take precedent. They can't ship every day. Obviously, eBliss can help with some of that. We also noticed that a lot of Poshmark sellers are actually coming over to eBay because they can now. A lot of our clients will actually have never sold on eBay, but they're like, well, I don't have to learn how to ship there because you're going to do it. So I'm going to sell on eBay now. And so I think that's a really good big plus because obviously eBay is the place to be if you're selling, anything really, because of that, I think we're seeing a lot of new eBayers come over from those other platforms. The other thing we noticed is that a lot of resellers are having to move upstream a little bit more. I mean, in the past, it seemed like you could kind of get away with sort of lower priced items and just doing a little bit more volume. But these days, I think that's not cutting it as easily. So you have to sort of look for a little higher priced items and maybe have a slightly lower volume because the margins are getting squeezed every which way. And you have to pivot always with wherever you are. And reselling is no exception. So I think that's what we're seeing as well. And then the last thing I think we've seen is more people are outsourcing more. Most people outsource the front end of their business first. They'll get a helper, a VA, they'll get a little storage unit, something like that. But now with us, they can outsource that back end fully with the storage and the shipping so that they can scale faster or get just more time and space back.
And that's good for you.
It is good for us. That's why we exist. I mean, we exist specifically to help those kind of resellers who have those issues. And most people have one or two of them, it seems.
Oh, I know all too well. Storage right now would be an issue for me. I don't have, even though it's a big house, it's not really a lot of practical storage where I am. So if I was to consider doing this, I would either have to rent another space or I could look for a solution like eBliss.
Exactly. Most people do get that storage unit as the first step to be outside of their, you know, their house or their apartment.
Sure.
But then they just realize they created a commute for themselves and it's not all that it's cracked up to be. I mean, it works out great for some people, but...
Have you researched the prices of storage units lately?
Yes, I could imagine that they're not cheap.
So I've been on the eBliss site and I was looking at the pricing pages. And when you think about the volume that you would put into a storage unit and the trips back and forth and all of that hassle, and then I was looking at your pricing and I said, actually, this doesn't look like it's too bad. This seems like a smart buy. I should make it clear. I don't take a cut. I don't get a portion of the company. It was simply an observation.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, as a business person, you know how you'd have to price so that it's attractive and still make it a viable business for yourself. And I think you're on that track. Where would I go, as if I didn't know, to find out more about eBliss?
Well, we are on social media as eBliss Reseller, Instagram and Facebook. And we also have a website that does have a really good, I think, a lot of good overview information.
At least it
answers the top level stuff. It's eblissreseller.com. And there's a spot there. If you want to talk further with us, you just schedule a call or a Zoom. We're always accessible to talk to anybody who is thinking about it. And I would just encourage anybody to have an open mind in that realm because you may think that it wouldn't work for you, but until you really explore it, you really don't know. And like I said, some people, it just doesn't make sense. For some people, it's like a no-brainer.
And when you think about time, I'm sure in your discussions with sellers, you have to bring this up. Maybe sellers aren't considering their time. One person can do a lot, but what's your time worth? How much are you getting paid to do what you do? So spending whatever the price is per month for a service like this, at first you might say, that's a chunk of money, but what's your time worth? And now you've got all this time freed up so that if you're like your husband, David, now you can go out and just find inventory and not have to worry about the operations and logistics of getting it shipped out.
Exactly. For some of our clients, it's a necessity. They would not be able to have the business they have without us. For some of our clients, it's a luxury. I mean, it's nice to have and they're willing to pay for it.
Yes.
You know, it's a nice, put it this way. If they didn't have us, they'd still be able to continue doing their reselling. It just would take more time. They would be limited maybe, but they'd still be able to do it. But some other of our clients, we have some clients who live in big cities. They literally have no space. Storage is very expensive for them. And so for them, we are the solution.
And you could be a hybrid, right? So if I'm a seller, I could ship you some categories of inventory. Like, for example, are there categories of inventory that eBliss would rather not have to store?
Well, we don't store anything that requires refrigeration.
Okay, there you go.
We're climate controlled, but we don't have a freezer or refrigerator. You know, don't send me food. We don't take anything that you can't sell on eBay. Like, that just wouldn't make any sense. There's a whole bunch of things you can't sell there. But yes, you're correct. You bring up a very good point in that we don't have to have all your inventory. And there's two reasons for that. There might be some things that don't qualify, whether for price or for size. I would never want to say as a fellow reseller, you can't source that because you can't send it to us. That makes no sense. And we've gotten pretty good at actually being able to share the same account. I don't make you have a new account for your stuff that you keep at your house because it all comes back to that SKU. Do you find some great like golf clubs or something that you want to sell and ship on your own or sell locally? You absolutely should do that. Some of our clients actually use us for overflow. They have a pretty good business. They have everything there, but then like, you know, they just get too much stuff and then they send it to us. Or they use us for their bigger items, chunkier items, shoes, bags, things like that. It really just depends on the client because, like I said, everyone is different and everybody is unique.
Well, it could be a solution for you if you're thinking that you don't have the space or you'd like to be able to grow but don't have the time because it's still a side hustle. Maybe you can check this out and see if it'll work for you. It's eBliss Reseller Solutions. Lori, again, where do we go to find out more?
It's eblissreseller.com or on Instagram and Facebook, eBliss Reseller.
Well, Lori, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. Say hello to David for me.
I will, and thank you so much for having me here. This has been wonderful.
Lori Bilyeu is co-founder and CEO of eBliss Reseller Solutions. We'll put a link to eBliss in our summary overview, and I urge you to check it out. It could be a solution that will work for you.
You got questions?
We got answers. We got answers. And our first question comes from somebody who sent in questions in the past, and I thought maybe you do us the honors again and read the first question.
I'd be happy to. Question from Tam_Gonza, mainly a sewing pattern seller with over 2,300 listings.
Yikes.
When I accept an offer, I see there are expired offers, sometimes multiple ones. How could I be missing these previous offers? I routinely check my phone for notifications and log into my account on my laptop. A side question, will eBay ever consider hosting an eBay Open in Sacramento, California? If you feel inclined to send a mug, I would love to have one. Tammy.
Well, Tammy. Yeah, we'll send you a mug. Of course, we always do. I've got her address. She included it in her email. A lot of people who send us emails don't include the address, and they don't get a mug. Isn't that sad?
Yeah, they definitely should include the address.
Absolutely. And those of you who might be waiting on your mugs, we send them out every 4 to 6 weeks. There's a new batch that will be sent out next week.
If they haven't sent their address, can they send it in now?
Oh, yeah, you can send your address in any time. If you miss this batch, you'll get on the next batch.
Cool.
Anyway, I'm going to address the first question first. We'll hold off on the eBay Open question about Sacramento. Tammy, you may need to configure your notification settings on the eBay app on your phone. The step-by-step instructions can be found in eBay Help by clicking the Help and Contact link and searching on the word notifications. It's the first link that's returned on the top of the list of return results. You click it, it'll take you to the right help page. We'll also put a link to that help page as we do in the episode summary overview. It's a two-step process. You have to first ensure that your mobile app's device notification settings are on for the eBay app, and then you have to make sure your eBay app settings within the eBay app notifications selling offers setting is toggled on. Once you've done those two things, every time you get an offer, you should get a notification. What we didn't tell you, and this is up to you, is how you're notified, whether it's a sound and or vibrate, what the sound is it both? Some people, you know, you can choose your little notification sound for that. You just have to make sure that both of those settings on your mobile device and then within the eBay app on the mobile device are set for receiving notifications so that you can be alerted every time you get an offer.
That's good info for a lot of folks.
Well, for me too. I didn't know it until I did the research.
Yeah, and it's interesting because like a lot of times I'll turn notifications off as soon as I like download an app and it makes me want to go take a look and see what have I done with my eBay stuff.
Yeah, it's the same thing I do for most apps, except I don't want to do it for two apps.
Right.
So I don't want to do it for text messages from somebody special and I don't he'd kill me. And I don't want to do it for the eBay app because if you're selling stuff, you want to know. As a seller, just asked a question, have I just sold something?
Right.
That's one app notification every seller wants to get is the ka-ching. But you got to make sure those two settings are toggled on. I'm going to let you answer the next part when it comes to hosting.
Good, because it'll throw me down memory lane as well.
Why?
As for hosting an eBay Open in Sacramento, I can't say for certain. If you mean a full, like, blown eBay Open like we hosted in Las Vegas in the past, probably not. If you mean an eBay Open Studio event like the one we're hosting in tandem in the four cities we mentioned, Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Phoenix, with eBay Open this year, again, I can't say, but the decision-making process takes the metro area population of eBay sellers and there may not be enough sellers in the greater Sacramento metro area to justify an open studio event there. However, we can bring this back to that team and at least give them the feedback.
Yeah, we can do that.
The memory lane is, I remember being in Sacramento for an event that you used to lead. You did an eBay University event there. I think it was on a Saturday morning. It was downtown Sacramento. It was an absolutely fantastic event. And I'm probably going back like 20 years now.
I'm surprised that you really remember that. That's
because it was, for some reason, I think it was, I had not been to downtown Sacramento very much. And I think that was one of the first times or second times I'd ever been downtown. And I think that's partly why I remember it so vividly.
At the very least, you could have a seller event there. You could have a seller-led event.
Yeah. If you want to host your own seller meetings, go to the events tab in community and go to seller meetings. And there's a link to start a seller meeting in your location. Our next email was sent by concerned seller Sunshine, who wrote, "Hi, Brian and Griff. This email is in response to Griff suggesting that a seller ship a ball cap in a padded envelope instead of a box."
Uh-oh.
I cringed when I heard that. I always ship my ball caps in boxes because, yes, they can be damaged during shipping. The bill of a cap has a structure to it. Some are straight and some are curved. It could very easily get damaged in a padded envelope by being crushed by heavier things on top or being stuffed into a mailbox or P.O. box by the carrier. I was not going to email you, but the more I thought about all the sellers who would ship their ball caps in a padded envelope instead of a box because of your comments was really bothering me. I hope you will rectify your comment to save the many, many vintage, rare, and perfectly shaped hats that would otherwise be shipped in a padded mailer and possibly sustain damage.
Okay, so there you go. What, Brian, what? What?
I'm going to let you respond.
Yeah, I'm going to respond. Yeah, Sunshine, I went back and read the transcript just to make sure I was clear, and I did qualify my suggestion about putting the item in a padded envelope. If it was a soft cloth cap, ball cap, that didn't have any structure, I made it clear that you should always find the right size box for the right size item. And if the hat has any structure at all, then you may need a box because you want to protect it. My advice was, when you're making this decision, make sure that you're not compromising the actual integrity or safety of the item so that it's not damaged in transit. Happy to clarify that. So I hope that anyone who listened to my answer to this last week and then rushed out and started stuffing all of their shaped ball caps into padded envelopes, stop. Make sure that however you're packaging your ball cap or anything, that you're finding that balance between not too big a container, not too big a box, and yet something that still protects the item itself. That's important. The integrity of the item should not be compromised during shipping.
And I'd like to just give Sunshine a shout out. Like, she hesitated on sending in. I'm glad she sent it in because, you know, there might have been some other listeners who felt the same way that she did. I encourage all of our sellers and listeners to email us if they maybe have a different suggestion to how we said something.
Which is actually, if you take issue with one of Griff's response.
Yes. Or me. I make mistakes too.
No, you don't. I make all the mistakes on this show. That's my purview. This is my wheelhouse, mistakes. Anyway, enough of that. Our next email was sent to podcast@ebay.com by seller David, who asked the following. I love this question because, I'll tell you in a minute. Hello, not sure if you guys have considered this or not, but has eBay ever considered a rental option for listings? My store has various specialized industrial equipment, and I think it would be great to have a rental option for the buyers and would allow for certain products to become reoccurring sources of income for sellers in eBay. Thoughts? Thanks, David. I tell you why I found this interesting, because back when a lot of our apparel sellers were complaining that buyers were purchasing their items, using them, and sending them back.
The returns team called it borrowing.
Yes, that's terribly frustrating. I mean, it was driving sellers crazy, and rightfully so. It's something that big retailers face all the time. But a smaller velocity seller maybe can't sustain that kind of loss in their items because they get the item back and it's either not saleable or it's not saleable for the same price. Of course, now there is, for at least for apparel sellers and other sellers of merchandise, like if it's new in box and sealed and you get it back. And if you're either top-rated seller or if you're not a top-rated seller, you're above standard and offering free returns, you can always take up to 50% off on the refund. So that was a way of recomping yourself for the potential loss of the item itself, whether it was a total loss or partial loss. My suggestion at the time is, and I was thinking about this out loud, is, well, why fight this? If this is something that happens in the high-end or designer apparel and costume business, why not build it into your model and just say, well, you return it and there's a fee. And the fee is you withhold some of the percentage or something. A seller could do that, right, Brian?
Right.
But then I started thinking about policies as they exist now, and you could end up getting a really high rate of returns in a certain category, and that's going to bump you into a higher final value fee. And yeah, I don't know if that's going to work, and I suspect that there's also a lot of like liability issues involved. So I'm not so sure we would ever build out a specific model to support that.
I don't know how long people use these specialized industrial equipment, but it would be interesting to see, like, if someone needs it for like 2 weeks, then it's theoretically possible the person could purchase it when they're done using it for 2 weeks, return it not as described, but just as no longer needed. And then there's an agreement on what the refund amount is, but it would be outside our policy and returns kind of guidelines. And so I'm not encouraging anyone to go do that.
Interesting idea.
It is an interesting idea.
Who knows? Maybe somebody will start their own little marketplace that's based on rental. Who knows? Like one of our enterprising listeners like David.
Do you have any coding experience?
If you don't, you can hire people.
Yes.
We have one last question, Brian.
There's a very interesting email from a concerned listener.
Really?
Yeah. It says, hi, just to correct my husband and one for the We Stand Corrected pile, it's called Record Store Day. Not record day. Record store day. Link to Wikipedia. Record store day is an annual event inaugurated in 2007 to celebrate the culture of the independently owned record store, held on one Saturday, typically the third, every April, and every Black Friday in November. Day brings together fans, artists, and thousands of independent record stores around the world. A number of records are pressed specifically for the Record Store Day, with a list of releases for each country, and are only distributed to shops participating in the event. Record Store Day is headquartered in the United States, where it began. Official organizers operate in the UK, Ireland, Mexico, Europe, Japan, and Australia. You remember, this is from last week.
Yes, I do. I do. It's painful, and I have to maintain domestic tranquility here at the homestead. I don't think this qualifies as a We Stand Corrected because it was a simple omission of one word. It wasn't. Okay, it's Record Store Day. I stand corrected. Move on.
Well, thanks for that, Rob. Thanks for keeping Griff on his toes.
Mm-hmm. Lots of fun.
Yes. If you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us on 888-723-4630.
Call that hotline any time of day, any day of the week. You can leave a question or a comment or something snarky at this point, and we just might put it on the air.
If you're not a call on the phone person, email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
I almost forgot I wanted to put this out there. So in 2 weeks, we have an all question and answer segment coming up. So if you've been sitting like a mother hen on one of your questions waiting for it to hatch, it's time. Send it as soon as you can to podcast@ebay.com or call 888-723-4630 so we can use your question on our upcoming all Q&A episode, which is in 2 weeks. It's that time of the show that we all wait for. It's your 3-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
Remember, you can manage your sent offers by using the quick filter for send offers on the active listings view in Seller Hub.
Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
And on our next episode, Brian, we're going to welcome back one of our regular podcast guests. She's seller, queen of auctions, Lynn Drawley. We're going to get an update on her business.
Fantastic. One of these days, I'm going to stop by that business on my way to Southern California.
Right there in Ventura. You can't miss it.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Lori Villeneuve from Ebliss Seller Solutions.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed in part by Libsyn and Podcast 411.